Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country as BBM Bumbarrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional across this beautiful country. I was welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, your mob too deadly. Now, on November 9, not-for-profit organisation Global Sisters host the third National Sister Pitch. The online event sees 30 startup businesswomen, five of whom are First Nation sisters, nervously face a panel of high-profile CEOs, founders and senior executives in a bid to gain growth opportunities and expert guidance for their businesses. Global Sisters CEO Mandy Richards says it offers a rare and valuable opportunity for the participating CEOs and leaders and the entrepreneurial sisters participating in Connect. And one of those sisters is the owner of Dilkara Australia, and that's Julie Oakley. And we're going to have a yarn with Julie about her business and about this opportunity. Julie on the line, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program, Julie. Thank you, sister. Now, before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, how you going? I'm from Camilleroy. So I was born in Coonabarabran, so they're my mob.
Yes.
Proud and punch. Awesome to be on the radio, I tell you.
Too deadly, my sister, but congratulations. A businesswoman, entrepreneur. So you're the owner of Dilkara Australia. So tell us about your business first, what you do, and let's talk about this fantastic opportunity about five First Nations Aboriginal startup businesswomen to pitch to Australia's top CEOs.
Yeah, and I just got to add that I was just proud as punch with the others because they were just as amazing as I was.
Yes.
Like, it was a bit of a nerve-wracking experience.
Sure.
We were selected out of, like, a database of what Global Sisters have with all these women that do their own businesses. And, you know, we had 30 of us that were chosen, five, as you said, First Nations women. And we basically had to talk about our business, and my business is hair, skin and hygiene products that I sourced a lot of ingredients from the, you know, communities and Indigenous communities from Australia. So we try and source ingredients that are authentic botanicals that, you know, are certified organic, which is really important to us. And we want to showcase what we can produce from grassroots level, you know.
And how long have you been running Dilkara? How long have you been a hairdresser there, sister?
Yeah, well, I'm actually 50 years old, just to say.
That don't mean anything. It's too deadly, sis.
I started when I was 17, so I've been hairdressing, cut my hair for a long time.
You know what
time.
You're talking about then, sister?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. But, you know, some days there's always a question mark. But, you know, I started Dilkara, you know, 5 years ago because my history goes that my mum passed away when I was 9 years old and I lost connection with my mob.
Yes.
And I actually had my cousin Kerry do our family tree. And so when I was 40, I reconnected and it was the best thing I ever did,
Good.
You know, to be proud to call Good. Myself a, you know, First Nations woman.
Yes.
And, you know, I wanted to change the message to, you know, the global community and introduce them to what we are capable of as First Nations businesses.
Too deadly. And so have you, with your business, Dilkara, so where do you operate from? How many staff do you have? And tell us about this fantastic opportunity.
Yeah, well, I actually live in Canberra, so I'm on Ngunnawal land. And I basically downsized. So in order to start the business, I pulled back. I have had salons in the past, but I sort of put my priority on the product type of things. And I do have quite a good clientele that I look after just, you know, on my own. I outsource a lot of things, so I have a good support network just to get me going and, you know, building the business up. And I have a business partner, Stuart, and he's basically... he's an Indigenous man based in Melbourne, and together we're just
big, big shout out, Stuart. Big shout out, yes, the brother.
Yeah, big shout out to Stuart White, yeah. And, you know, it's been great to work with the brother to just really get the get the whole culture and heritage back into the business and,
yes.
you know, try and sell the message across the world, because that's a really big thing to me. And that's why with Global Sisters I joined this program, and I was really grateful that I was accepted. And I was matched with a CEO that has connections with Oz industry and Oz trade. And her name is Fiona De Jong, and she actually helped me move forward in understanding a bit more about exporting
yep.
our beautiful products from Good. Our beautiful nation
yes.
to the global community. And, you know, although it's a big process, like being in business is always a challenge. Like you always got your ups and downs, and nothing's ever easy. So you do need this type of support, because if you didn't have it, you wouldn't have the network to do what you can do. And
exactly.
I was, you know, really surprised to be able to sit in a room with five other women, because they broke it up into six different groups, because it's the first year that they actually had to do it online because of COVID.
COVID-19, so, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and normally it's face-to-face and we do it through, you know, person-to-person, but this time we had to do it through Zoom. And it was a really amazing feeling to sit there with these women and have a room mediator that helped us talk to these CEOs that normally are just so busy, you know, and to get in front of five of them at once was just fantastic. And but not only that, they're also connecting us with CEOs that are outside our group that we sort of found that might help our business as well. But credit to Global Sisters, because this sort of thing just doesn't happen in the real world, you know. So it was such an amazing experience.
I'm picking up a sort of concept like the Shark Tank, is that right? When you look at Global Sisters, yeah, and you have a CEO. Does the CEO then take you and your business under their wing and guide you, direct you? And how long does the CEO work with you for?
Well, you basically develop the relationship ongoing. And look, they're not paid for this. This is time they've given out of their day to commit to these businesses and to do it as part of, you know, a pay it forward system. And that's another thing that, you know, is really great on their behalf. But it's probably a little bit less aggressive than Shark Tank. You just don't get the flick up.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Yeah, see ya. Thanks for coming. Next, please. Nothing like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a gammon product. See you later.
Yeah, it's like, we say, and that's the thing. Like, you know, sometimes you can reach out to some people and they go, yeah, we'd love to help you, and you never hear from them.
But yeah, sure. Exactly. Talk forked tongue.
These guys.
Or they steal the concept of the idea or the products, you know. That's the other thing too.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, you know, all the sisters that actually gave their idea, like, I was blown away with some of the ideas that they had.
Yeah,
like, these
beautiful.
Were amazing concepts, and they've come and they've, you know, really worked hard to bootstrap it and start it themselves, and, you know, now they're ready to sort of go to the next level. And business is hard to navigate.
Yes.
You know?
Especially where we're living at the moment, sister.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. You've got to be really aware of how to do things online and your social media stuff and how to talk to people and sell yourself.
Adaptation comes to mind as well. Forever changing world, we need to adapt to what's happening, you know, whether it be technical or, you know, 21st century tools or COVID-19, viruses or whatever the case may be, shutting down of borders, all the above.
Exactly. And, you know, and what I found during lockdown, it was amazing in the fact that so many people did, you know, really good amount of shopping online, supporting Australian businesses, which, you know, take my hat off to anyone that buys Australian made and small business, because it's really supporting families and it's supporting a dream and a vision to try and do something for you, you know, your kids' future and the future of the country.
So, Julie, what happens now in regard to, you have a CEO that works closely with you now to help you guide your product, is that right? You have a business relationship there, friendship, and, well, that can last forever, can't it?
Well, let's hope so, for sure. And so what my next step with my CEO is to actually, where she suggested I get in touch with, and she's going to actually link me up with the beauty and hair care team in the export area.
Yes.
And she's going to really help me understand how to do the whole export process, which I can only say probably another big challenge, you know, but everything's a challenge until you
and
get
and it's
there,
about enjoying
it?
The journey, go a mile, see a mile and grow, you know, but don't, you know, doesn't kill you, makes you stronger, you know what I mean? So enjoy that journey. That's what it's all
like
about.
It's
today,
really,
Canberra, tomorrow the world, you know?
Really big learning curve to understand the processes behind, you know, what you have to do to step forward. And, you know, there's different organisations that, you know, as Indigenous businesses, we can look at, like IBA and, you know, Supply Nation to help us understand the connections and understand how to do these things properly and, you know, move forward into the process in the right way, because it's always hard to know what you're doing is the right thing to do.
Exactly, exactly.
And basically, it's just been one of those things that, you know, you just sort of got to trial and test it and just keep, you know, engaging with these people, and just one day, hopefully, you know, through the right network and through the right connections,
doors can open up.
Make a really good choice, and things roll your way. Sometimes it's luck.
Yeah, Julie.
Sometimes it's basically, you know, just timing. Timing.
Well, time is everything in life, Julie. Timing is everything in life.
Yeah, there were quite a few First Nations businesses that were really amazing in the presentation. And, you know, like, it was just so good to see them so excited and happy to push their concepts out into the real world, the big world, you know. And
exactly,
you know, there's sisters that have sort of had their fashion at New York Fashion Week and stuff like that that I just, you know, blows my mind at what these First Nations businesses are doing and what they're achieving.
Exactly.
It's just fantastic.
Level playing ground. Look, Julie, thank you so very much. Congratulations. Big shout out to your family,
you know,
your team.
We go through so many different changes in business, and I'm just really grateful for the support to Indigenous community and the government and everyone that actually helps want to see us improve and grow.
Exactly.
And, you know, achieve the bigger things and basically, like, you know, get to the point that maybe this business we can actually then turn around and do it full time, and that's a really big thing.
A very big thing. So, Julie, thank you so very much. That's Julie Oakley, her name is, and developer of Dilkara Hair. And five First Nations Aboriginal startup businesswomen to pitch to Australia's top CEOs, and they've done that. And now the CEOs have taken them under their wing and guide them into the future. And look, a fantastic business opportunity for those businesses. Black women in business is too deadly. Have you say Yana Stronger to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
One wallo daru wala one wallo bagaram bili one wallo daru wala
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn Up, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. On your dingy country, that's BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. 2 years after a landmark independent review into the New South Wales child protection system, the rates of First Nation child being removed has increased. New South Wales government failing to keep First Nation kids with family. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Richard Weston, First Deputy Children's Guardian for Aboriginal children and young people in New South Wales. So on the line, Richard, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you? Hi, Trevor. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good, my brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, I'm a Marion man. My people are from Murray Island in the Torres Strait. I was born on Gadigal country and I guess raised and educated on Noongar Boodja in WA. I've been lived and worked all over Australia.
Yeah, walkabout, brother, walkabout.
Yeah, currently on Wiradjuri country. So
beautiful.
Pay my respects to Wiradjuri people.
Yeah, thank you very much, my brother. So we're talking about the 2 years after landmark independent review into the New South Wales child protection system, the rates of First Nations children being removed has increased. So New South Wales is failing in keeping First Nations kids with families. Yes, brother?
Well, I think we know that the overrepresentation of Aboriginal children in care has been growing for a long time.
Yeah.
An upward trajectory, and I remember involved in the Family Matters campaign, talking about the need to do something urgently and immediately. Otherwise, we're going to see a doubling of the numbers of Aboriginal kids in care within the next 10 years. So, I guess you know the Families Culture Report, the Davis Report, is a significant piece of work.
Yep.
You know, an Aboriginal lens on the child protection system for the first time and with a focus on impact on Aboriginal children and their families. So a really important piece of work and throws up a lot of challenges in responding to the recommendations of that report.
Yeah, for sure. And elders calling this movement as the 21st century stolen generation. And could be fitting in that sense.
Look, I think that's a fair description. You know, what we've seen through the 20th century, there were specific policies called Aboriginal protection policies.
Mm.
And specifically on the Aboriginal community and that was the process, that was the tool the governments used to remove children from their families and their communities because at that time they believed that, Aboriginal children would stand a better chance being raised as white fellas, white education, and they would benefit from that. But, the story of the stolen generations isn't one of great benefit to children that were removed. It's been a story of trauma and hardship,
yes,
and pain and grief. And you know, we've just seen when those policies finished in the early 70s, we saw it was the child welfare policies that took over the removal of Aboriginal kids. So different headline, but the same practice.
So what does the government need to do? Do they need to go back and visit? I mean, like, what was the plan of attack? What was the promise, so to speak, and they didn't deliver? And the First Nation children removed has increased. So there is a problem there.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. It's clear that this system just does not work for Aboriginal children. It's a very punitive system. It doesn't take into account the levels of trauma that are in our communities. It doesn't take into account any of the history of dispossession and genocidal practices and the removal of children. It doesn't take into account the stolen generations and the impact.
Mm.
So it does. It's really a very basic system of there's a report. And then there's a substantiation of a child at risk, and then there's removal. And we need some more steps in that process to keep Aboriginal children in their families, connected to their culture and strong identity. And we don't have a system like that at the moment. But there are things that can be done that were identified in the recommendations of the Davis report that I think can be done. And if they are implemented properly, perhaps we can turn around this problem.
Mm. But black people have got to be at the table in regard to the outcome and the discussion, and the so-called plan of attack and moving forward. you know, we've got the answers and to the problem, we've got the solution to the problem. So we need to be front and centre, my brother.
That's dead right, Trevor. We have a and this report that Megan Davis did is an invitation to that. You know, it's an invitation from Aboriginal people to come together with, you know, with government and with the child protection system, find better approaches to working with children that are at risk of removal or in vulnerable situations. We vest a lot of our, you know, our self-determination Aboriginal community-controlled organisations,
yep.
And they certainly play a very important part,
yes,
very important part of the service system. But unfortunately, we are not going to just be able to provide better services to get out of the predicament that. So the governments are going to really need to engage more directly with community-led mechanisms. A good example in New South Wales is the Regional Assembly, which is an assembly of 16 communities, which provides cultural authority and leadership and governance. But there's also an alliance of a council of regional alliances. So there's mechanisms starting to form and evolve, and I think that they bring more of those community voices, people that don't often get heard.
Yes.
I think it can bring more community to the table to help support, you know, vulnerable families and identify children at risk communities. And I think we have to, you know, that I think can change the conversation that goes on with the child protection system.
Yeah, there's got to be a lot of work also with the families as such, the parents, or even look at the housing situation. I mean, are they sharing the family? Are they sharing the house with another family? I mean, all the above. There's got to be investigations in the situation, you know, and let's create a safer, a better home life for these kids to stay with family.
Yeah, look, having a good house is the start of it, isn't it?
Of course.
And in New South Wales, that regional and remote housing is an issue. So there is a shortage of social housing. So that's a, you know, and that's a systemic problem that can't be solved by the child protection system. That's a
exactly
on to that. But I think within our communities, you know, we have strong families and we have good leaders.
Yep.
And we have people who have solutions and ideas for change. And we need to start to see the system better honour that leadership, that, you know, create better connections for the community to come to the table. So it can't just be having a conversation with our community when there's a problem.
Exactly.
You know, we need to be talking about, well, what's going to make a difference for our communities? What's going to make a difference for families?
You know, the old saying, Richard, you know, it takes a community to raise a child, you know.
And support for children that are in vulnerable situations or might be unsafe. You know, we can't. The answer is not just to simply remove them. We have to make those families stronger.
Exactly.
And you know, some of the parts to that are better housing, but there's also need to recognise the collective experience of Aboriginal people, the traumatic history that we've been through. You know, some people will deal with those traumas better than others, and so we need to create an environment where the communities advising government through our, you know, our elected mechanisms, you know, to provide a better engagement and to support the really good work that our community-controlled organisations do.
True that. Hey, thank you very much, Richard. Beautiful yarn. Thank you so much. Look, you take care and all the best to you.
Thanks a lot, Trevor. Always good to talk to you, mate. Thank you,
Richard. Bye, mate. So Richard Weston, a first deputy children's guardian for Aboriginal children and young people in New South Wales, and also he's the co-chair with Family Matters, and talking about the New South Wales government failing to keep First Nations kids with family. A lot of work to be done there, and when you look at the simplicity of it all, it is simple, isn't it, in that sense, you know. But it's about working towards it. It takes a community to raise a child. Have you saying yarn up strong? Had the conversation here. National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416 is the number. Too deadly.
Rainmangum Langamai Gandri. Whipping up no mangare, Langaidam bad feet. Whipping up no koyo, Langaidam bad feet. Walk along a hill country and walk along a black child plain. And Millabot will walk there on a riverside and get him guana, sugar bag, and butter drink. Well, Millabot will work with staying in all real life. And we've been camped there at bottom camp. My father been stockman. Mother took him for a walk about holiday time. Long time ago, be praying and drumming for my country. Long time ago, that praying and drumming for my country. And we're gonna have to walk in the rain. My mother been keeping that fire stick burning inside the billy can. And the guana, where the rule man been drag him, they been walk inside the water, the black shawl plain. All that rain been sit on 2-3 months straight long in their country. And the sun and moon never been shine through. My father and mother been drag him and got him all the puttaga and keep me alive all the way. And the sun been come out after when the rain been stopped.
It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Autumn sun was beaming down, a cool change came and hit the ground. And oh, I drifted off to sleep. When I woke, a butterfly came floating down through the sky. and perched itself at my feet. So I held it in my hand, I whispered, I loved you and I wished I'd love you all my life. Oh, the winds of butterflies that know no bounds and know no time, I patiently wait for you. Butterflies, they make no sound. No one else was to be found. And now that butterfly is free. Flying through the sky above to grant the wish eternal. Patiently wait for you. Oh, the wings of butterflies and no bounds and no time. All my dreams came true. So high you believe that you'll go wherever you go.
Wings of Butterflies, that's Adrian Thomas. Shake a Leg here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. A one-hour program come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 90.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Big shout-out to the NERS team. Thank you so much to Dudley. A click of a button, get us around the nation, and their house down there at the Beamer office, Brisbane Indigenous Media Association, with Jai and all of the mob down there. So thank you so very much, Stu Dudley. All right, what's making news? What's making headlines? Where we are detectives hopeful of physical evidence in new William Tyrrell searches. Also, Queensland confirms border reopening to interstate COVID hotspots. Days earlier than planned, so that's good. New South Wales floods, thousands prepared to evacuate as Lachlan River threatens Forbes. Construction heavyweights warn of a wave of building company collapses on the way. And that's also South Australia to open borders, cut COVID-19 quarantine next week. And whereas Tassie shivers through remarkable sea level snow evident as cold front sweeps across southern states here. That's cold down that way, so about keeping warm, looking after yourself, your mob. Hero Cabby locks a suspect in exploding taxi. Catastrophic warning for Australian homeowners. The Nitty Nine, the portfolio of stocks to buy and hold forever. And the world's first anti-vaccination movement spread fears of half-cow babies in that sense. So that's a very important conversation there as well. Have you seen Yana Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Big shout-out to the KIAF team, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair. Had a fantastic music in the park there on the weekend and had deadly performances in regard to Naomi Wenatong, Sea Breeze, and also we had Black Image, two Deadly Black Image, and a big shout out to those Deadly Brothers, and keeping that music strong there all the way from Hopewell. With that, let's go to their Deadly track here now, Reconciliation, Black Image. Do enjoy it. Deadly track there for Black Image, Reconciliation. Big shout out to the Deadly Mob there at Hopewell. Thank you so very much. This is your Deadly program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. We've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Trevor.
How are you, brother?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm really frustrated by the local news. You just read the news. I want to update you on the fella that we have still in our community.
Yes. Gentleman from last week threatening the First Nation people down there at Green Patch. Then he got arrested and they found a gun, and we found a replica gun. But it's just very scary sight, and then he was released next day.
Yeah, he was released for being armed and dangerous and threatening behaviour. And he got, the fella is causing a lot of... He's still on the loose, and people have told me... When that happened at the end there, everybody went to, a lot of people desperate for surgery or looking, waiting for houses, they all went to camp up near Little Mulgrave, which is about 5 or 6 miles up the river at the base of the range that goes up to the Tableland. And he camped there and he got into a dispute. He had an argument. He was picking on a single mother and with a kid there.
So you could say he's at large. I mean, he's out and about harassing people. Is he back down at the Green Patch? And he had a van there, did he not?
He looks like a road worker. He's got a double cab white ute with big letters on the door saying RU12.
What's that mean?
I don't know, but he's got all these. He looks like a road worker, and he's got all these signs, big yellow cardboard coloured people. But anyway, the police were called again. The police were called again because he picked on a single mother. So all them people up there that moved camp up the river, all these poor sods on the road, I'm stick up with them too, and they all had to move. And so he's still somewhere around the Little Mulgrave vicinity, and he's still off his face and picking on people. And then I heard that the police come back and they camped halfway at Peach Bridge, and the police come and move them from there. And now the Green Patch is getting a rest. Finally, there's nobody camping in there, and the trees and the ground's got a peace and quiet. That fella is still at large. I called Curtis Bitt this morning.
Well, he sounded a bit like a pest, but at the same time, no one's got injured at this point in time. But, look, it could lead to that. It could happen the way he's operating.
Prevention's better than the cure, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And so he's still at large, And I tried to call the police link, and they tried to connect me to the Gordonvale police, but it's unmanned. Mm. So if there is an emergency with this fella again, there's nobody there, mate. And we've got a maniac on the loose in Gordonvale on the Mulgrave, and I'm just updating that story. Mm. He should never have been released. He's due to go to court on November the 23rd.
Did you find all this information out through the police, did you?
No, I got that information out of the paper, the Cairns
Post. Okay, sure.
Yeah, that was printed there.
Public notice.
It says in, yeah, it's a public notice, and it says the man's from Bleebly, B-L-I-B-L-I, Bleebly, Bleebly.
Okay.
But he's like a road worker, and he's got a lot of equipment with him and a big dog. And I find he was going down to the river, striding down there, and the traditional owners down there, they told me he's down there all the time, pestering him all the time. He just can't keep out of trouble. He was released. He's somewhere around Little Mulgrave, unless they've moved him on again. I've contacted the ABC, don't want to know, and the white press. And anyway, I'll just leave it.
You there?
Is a danger in the community, and
yes,
he's easily recognised. He's got a white double cab ute with RU12 in big letters on his doors on both sides. I managed to get that off my video. And
well, yeah, be the watch out for us, lad. Be the watch out for the community members down there, and keep an eye on him. But yeah, who do you call? Thanks, Tony.
I called you. Thanks, mate.
Good one, brother. Thank you, brother. That's Tony Gibbs, yeah, talking about the situation that happened there last week. A gentleman down there was threatening First Nation people with a baseball bat, and the coppers got along and arrested him. And when they held him down, they found a gun in his pocket, replica gun. But there it is, released next day. And look, he's been released and still harassing people. Have you say Yana Song out of the conversation here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. All right, now a new funding for about $1.5 million from the federal government, National Health and Medical Research Council, NHMRC, partnership program scheme will ensure that on-country maternity services reach communities where the premature baby rate is three times the national average. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Yvette Rose, research of Charles Darwin University, and talk about redesigning maternity services at Gelawinku with Yungu Knowledge. On the line, Yvette, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Thank you for your interest in this exciting project.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important conversation, and talking about, looking after our mothers and our babies in regard to premature babies in communities. So tell us about the research at Charles Darwin University and where we go from here and what we can do.
What we know is that, especially in Gelawinku community in eastern Arnhem Land, babies are more likely to be born too small and too early, you know, 1 in 5 babies. And what that means is baby really struggles in that first, you know, 2 years of life.
Yeah.
And when we have small babies, and babies, they're at high risk of other things like cerebral palsy, vision impairment, hearing loss, asthma, diabetes, hypertension, and learning disabilities, especially as they go to school. So what we know is that we can make a big change with mum in pregnancy and in baby's first 1,000 days. We know we can get mum and baby the best start to life. So one of the critical things is that we know that's not doing well for our communities, especially in Gelawinku, where this project's based, is that we need to redesign maternity services so our mothers and babies and families can have a real outstanding clinical experience. So clinically, they're looked after in the best way possible, but also culturally, the cultural values and the way we understand the world to be is also incorporated in that care.
So there's got to be both entities at the table, isn't there, Yvette? Life,
we've got to fix this broken system that sometimes harms our mothers and babies.
Yeah, well, there's going to be both entities at the table when we're talking culture and also talking medical support. They both got to be at the table, don't they? You there, Yvette? Yvette Rowe? No? We'll try and get Yvette Rowe back. She's a researcher at Charles Darwin University and talking about the redesigning maternity services at Galawinku with Yungul Knowledge. And so looking after our babies and our mums in regard to premature babies are three times the national average in communities, and we need to bring those numbers down. And working with our mummies at the maternity at the medical level, but also in the cultural sense as well. So very, very important. And Yvette was alluding to that, but we lost her. We'll get her back and continue the conversation. Have your say, Jan Armstrong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. You there, Yvette?
I'm there.
Yes, sorry. Got cut off there. Yeah, you're so excited. That's all good. But I was just saying that both entities need to be at the table. We're talking about the medical support, but also the cultural aspect as well.
Oh, look, 100%. What we need to do currently in Galawinka community, we've got a system that's designed for mainstream people.
Yes.
And it's been a system that's designed on biomedical and women who are very multilingual, who might speak English as their third or fifth language,
yes,
have to be go into Nullumboy or Gove, usually at 36 weeks, and left to wait for the baby to come. So there's critical things. One is we need to ensure that the women have those cultural components, they have language speakers, they're escorted into this very biomedical model. But also we've got a system that wraps its arm around the women and is ensure that the staff are clinically safe and culturally safe. And the other stuff is that the women can navigate a system that makes sense. Often women don't understand the choices available to them. They might not understand the medical procedure. They might not understand what's being recommended. So one of the key things is to ensure that they're protected, they're able to engage with people that understand their birthing aspirations.
Mm.
But also there's some cultural elements that we know that we bring to the table that's important for mother and baby to go through during that birthing process. And whether, it's a very ceremonial part of baby's birth.
Mm.
And so we need to take that in and how we design things. So currently, our people aren't at the table when they're redesigning things. So the thing with this project is that, like you were saying, we need the key partners at the table, like the hospital, like the MeWatch Health Service, like the cultural centre there, CareFlight, Red Cross, all these providers that bring expertise to the table. But in the core of that has to be the voices and the aspirations of the women.
Yes,
And so when we look at that, when we talk about redesign, we're saying, is this system working for us? And we know that it's not. Mm. Is this the best workforce that we can get? No, we can make the workforce better. We also realise that pregnancy and having a baby is one important part of it, but being an amazing, resilient mum and family is really important.
Exactly.
And we know we've got some real solid families in our community.
We have.
But we also know that some families need support. So how do we support them? Things like overcrowding, housing.
Yes, all the above.
Yeah,
exactly. Even with regard to premature babies, what would be the cause of premature babies?
Oh, look, there's a whole range of things.
Okay.
And a lot of those things are outside the health system. So when we look at the poor housing in our communities, when there's overcrowding, infrastructure, things like basic things like water. We take that for granted that we can turn the tap on. So when you've got a whole range of people living in your house, when you don't have access to a good quality health service. In Galawinka community, they had 50 women having babies.
Mm.
They didn't have a midwife for 6 weeks.
Wow.
That means the women weren't able to get the care that they need.
Exactly.
So, nutrition when mum's having baby is really important. We know that in some of our remote stores, it costs a lot of money to be healthy.
Mm.
And when you're living on basic cards, you can't buy all the things you need.
Yeah.
So there's a whole range of things outside the health system. But also what we know is that the health system can actually harm our babies. And in the sense of we don't know what kind of care. We have a system that people aren't communicating with our women. So there's
The other thing that comes to mind, Yvette, is...
And there's things in the health system. But also we need to uplift our communities, especially our women and families, to say, here are some choices. Because women in Galawinku for this project are really clear where they want to go. I mean, they've trained up to be what they call a jackamere or a birthing companion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they've graduated 11 jackamers, which are the first 11 in Australia to support women in their pregnancy process.
Beautiful.
But also support them when they go to either Nullarbor or Darwin to help navigate that system. They're not clinically trained, but they're cultural advocates of the woman and the family.
Yeah.
So the community is being invited to be part of the solution, and this is something really new for Gallawinkin community.
Exactly. Thank you so very much. And that's Yvette Rowe, research of Charles Darwin University, and talking about the redesign of maternity services at Gallawinkin with Yungul knowledge. And Black on Black can't beat that, but need to protect our mothers and our babies, and talking about the premature babies. And we can do a lot more in regard to supporting them. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. You have to do that tomorrow, you mob. Murray from the Curry, Trendy Trev here, is going to sign off for the program for today. A one-hour program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And like I said, we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. News coming up here very soon. You mob, look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We're in a pandemic in regard to the virus, COVID-19. So do what you need to do, look after yourself. Get the jab or have the conversation about the jab. And borders about to open up, so it could be an influx of COVID-19. So you need to keep yourself safe. Too deadly, mob.